blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo. Because I'm black, and I'm black. Yo, I'm black, and I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. And I'm blickety black, 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 black. Hey everyone, I'm Avery Williams, and you're listening to, I guess, a special edition of our Weekly Dose.
Indeed.
Special edition.
This is in lieu of a traditional Weekly Dose. We did this before when they had, the other guys had a conversation about licensed games. So, not licensed games.
Licensed movies, but yes.
So, but we're going to have another conversation about
diversity in comics and other media.
Yes. So, I'm Avery Williams, I'm sitting here, I guess,
half your normal
PCP compliment. Audie Chesley.
What up?
And Chicago McConan.
Token McConan.
I like that. Token McConan.
Someone pluggeth the show it.
On it. Okay, of course, we have Tumblr, as always. PCBLovesAnonymous.tumblr.com. There you can find the iTunes connect symbol. Just click on that. Or look up the letters SHEGAW on iTunes. There you can find our podcast, subscribe, and get them on a very regular dose. Dosage. That's a big joke. We also have the email, of course. We love PCP at yahoo.com. There you can send all of your any grievances, concerns, comments, what have you, to us. But perhaps you don't care for that. You would care for a more direct means of communication. In which case, you're reported to our Facebook page, Pop Culture Podcast, Pop, Space, Culture, Space, Podcast. There you can find a streamline of all of our podcasts and reviews. We'll post them there. We'll have that up there. You'll get a regular, just hit the like page. Boom. You can find it. You can communicate with us. Any ideas you have, that's probably the fastest way to hit us up. Also, you can follow us on Tumblr at We Love PCP. There you can find Josiah, just like, you know.
Wait, Tumblr? You mean Twitter?
Twitter. My bad. See, it's not as easy as it looks now, huh? If you want to be on an episode, you got to be able to go through the script.
That's right.
Yes. So our Twitter at We Love PCP. Also, we have a website in the works right now. You can take a preview of it at popculturepodcast.wordpress.com. There, be sure to give us if you take a look at it. Tell us if you have any grievances, concerns, things you might want to change, a different template perhaps, different color schemes, things like of that nature. So just let us know in any of the aforementioned places. So, yeah. Huh.
Jesus.
Zac Efron is swole?
It's scarier than the days you've been walking around all swole.
Isn't it a problem? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but, like, yeah. I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening.
You've just been plugged. Thank you.
Popping the Nantucket. So anyway, we're here to talk about diversity. Specifically in comics because, well, if you've been living under a rock, which a lot of people apparently are, Marvel just decided to
make... Apparently the readers of USA Today have been, so...
Well, Marvel has just decided to make the Ultimate Spider-Man a brown character.
Not going
to
say black.
Well...
African-American?
Well,
he's half black, half Hispanic.
Well, the president's half black, half white, but people tend to forget
that. To clarify something, he's half black, half Hispanic, but everyone is just going to call him black.
Because...
Because at face value, he looks black and not Spanish.
Let's face it, if he steals your car, you're not going to be like, that mixed guy stole my car. Let's just say
That's why I called him brown.
Yeah.
I see.
He's Mochaccino, if nothing else.
Yeah. This new character, Miles Morales, will be taking
They couldn't pick a blacker name unless they chose, like...
Miles Morales?
They could have called him Darrell Melendez.
They had to show that half black, half...
Miles, he's a jazz musician. He's also in the Street Kings. So yeah.
And he's going to be taking the role of the new Ultimate Spider-Man. So we're gonna, and his the big reveal of his character has caused a stir on the racial bylines. We're just going to address some of that stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah. Before we start, I've been painted as somewhat of a racist against black people.
On this show. Because, let's face it, you hate black people.
I don't.
I'm sorry. You hate tar babies.
You hate black characters written by white writers.
That's one of the things. My thing is, it's really difficult being black. It really is. Like, it's one of those... It's literally the race with the most prejudice put out against them.
Seriously.
By everyone in the world.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of preconceived notions with you. And with being black, so people just generally... Like, you don't go up to a white person and just generally assume that...
They have a high credit score.
They have that. But you go up to a black person and, like, you like chicken, right?
There's all these...
Well, do you like chicken?
Well, yes, I adore chicken. Well, then shut the hell up.
To be fair, everyone loves chicken.
Exactly.
But like, this is not to indicate that like Asians, Hispanics, Jews, like, gays, everyone
has wrong. Everyone.
Do you see how they cross in anime?
One, we got one guy, giant pink lips, afro or bald, one of the two.
Okay, so
there is no.
Okay, there are stereotypes for all races, and there's always truth in stereotypes.
Yeah,
but black people's stereotypes tend to be the hot button issue when portraying blacks in any way, shape, or form.
No. I'm not saying this in any type of prideful sense. That is because
overt dislike towards quote unquote black people is that I don't like these. Like, conditions put on against me. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be, like, I don't listen to, like, I want to say, Wiz Khalifa, Gucci Mane, and all of that.
And that's because you have an education. That's what this is. All right.
But they're the popular ones.
So hold on now, because...
Your
hoes had to go for it.
For a second there.
No, that's not...
Because people, like, I have a hard, like... I don't. If you look at my iPod, I have a lot of different genres of music on there.
Eclectic. You're Whoopi Goldberg in Sister X.
Yeah, but every time someone sees me with headphones, they ask me what I'm listening to, and I.
You get that
energy? And I have to hesitate.
Yeah, because you already know they have that.
They have what they assume I wouldn't be listening to. I always say I'm listening to Kanye West. That's all I ever
and
say.
And it's like.
I could be listening to Itadé Hikaru. But now I have to sit there and explain to them why I'm a black person listening to Japanese music.
I can't even say that.
Dude is the hardest that, like, to be me, and I listen to music, and then I take off my headphones, and Frank Sinatra's playing. That's how rough that is sometimes.
That's awesome. Look, I don't know, I'm just sitting there and just lifting weights and just like, you guys want me to. And I take it off, you hear, like, the opening theme that Hajime no Ise. I was like, get your mouth.
Yeah, we're talking about grievances that are different, like, for us. And, like, and me personally, like, with my voice, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, I have immigrant parents. Most people would say, your boy talks white. Now, they're always like, no, he sounds like he's got a job interview. He's got a job interview voice.
Job application.
It's like, he's class educated.
One of the reasons I have major beef with my sister is that she's sort of become this atypical black teenager.
Oh, no.
Where she's grown up in the suburbs. Like, I used to live in, Langley Park. I used to live there.
The boonies.
Yeah, so I have justifiable hood in me.
Right.
She has always lived in the suburbs.
Yeah.
But if you talk to her,
you
would never know that.
Yeah.
And that's always infuriating me.
Yeah. My family's from Northwest DC, so it's just like, you know what?
My father's too. Father's side.
Yeah. Isn't he a Detroit pimp?
Detroit, Chicago, he's a pimp.
Hey,
we ain't never gonna hit this up. My mom's not gonna hit this up. But yeah, like up in my father's side up in DC. My mother grew up in like countryside in the small town of Salisbury.
Yeah. So my big thing with it's not only I don't like these things put on me, but every time a black person does something overtly,
it reflects on the race.
Yeah, coonish.
It does seem like
it reflects on the entire race, and now I have to sit there and go like, oh, god damn it.
He's like you. You try to defend it, but you don't really care to.
Yeah, like...
Because you know somebody's going to look at it. It's
little things like when another race does something, it doesn't reflect poorly on them.
Necessarily.
Not to the extent...
It's that big... remember Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah.
There was that image of a group of white people taking stuff.
Oh, my God.
And scavenging and surviving.
They're scavenging. They're trying to survive.
Black people... Looting.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell is he doing with the DVD player?
Okay.
It's buoyant. All right? It floats.
Right? But it's one of the things I'm like, oh, man... Damn it.
Also, I was trying to watch Waterworld. I mean, you can figure out my way out of the situation.
And then black people, the culture, it's so insular that a lot of the like problems we have with like other racial divides are because black people are very insular.
Yeah.
That's because we're one of the few races that has any unity. We have no unity.
It's weird.
It's weird, but we don't.
We have this sort of backwards sense of unity where we don't like when other black people... do good, but
crabs in a barrel. But if you do good, then
you gotta bring us with you, or you're a sellout, whatever that is.
You're a sellout.
And this brings us back to like this thing about affirmative action within comics.
Okay. This has been a brief discussion on racism.
Yeah.
But yeah, and back on the original tip. Yeah.
Big news was of course the Miles Morales thing.
Yeah, the Mike Morales. Miles Morales.
Yeah, and people have been and of course there's a big USA Today when they released this. Okay, the big hoopla is that it's not that Spider-Man is dead, which happened some time ago. It was very well done. Yes, but there's a new.
Despite my problem with the idea. Yeah, very well done.
There's a new Spider-Man almost immediately.
Almost immediately.
Yeah.
And as it's one of those things where it's blown up in the media, and like everyone's talking about it. But like my big thing is how many people are actually reading Ultimate Spider-Man on a regular basis?
Better question: how many people actually know what Ultimate Spider-Man is?
Thank you.
Like, these people have no idea that The Amazing Spider-Man, which has been, which, you know, as a result of certain issues, has been a bit of a stinker at certain points.
I blame Carly Cooper.
Yeah. And it's just like, they don't know, and like, these people have no idea, don't care about Spider-Man, up until it's like, man, affirmative action strikes again. I'm just like, all right, hold on a second, dude. Like, you may not, I have no idea what this character is. I have no idea what the basis is. If this guy, if they pull a Jason Todd with Miles Morales, whereas like, they give him the exact same origin story, as like the professor, the way Jason Todd was like, yeah, I'm a circus family, just like the way Dick Grayson was, and that's how he becomes the Bee. And this kid gets bitten by a radioactive spider, like on a field trip, the way I've heard, or what have you.
My big tip on Miles Morales is I don't care. Like, literally.
I mean, I'm indifferent. I don't know.
It's pretty much the same thing. Yeah. I've been reading Ultimate Spider-Man for nigh on 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I have all the trades. I'm an active comic book fan.
Yeah.
I've been reading the story, and I've talked to a lot of people, and they're like, well, I mean, it'll be an interesting thing. It'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let's dissect it for a bit.
Yeah.
When I originally heard this, I said affirmative action. Mm-hmm. Now, I made a joke about affirmative action.
Yes.
Affirmative, and a couple people took that as me.
Seriously, it's like,
me being like, oh, I hate him because he's black.
It's Grand Wizard Williams strikes again. It's like.
No. It was a joke.
Yeah.
But it is, like, the way they're marketing it is that they're glorifying the fact that Spider-Man is black now.
Yeah.
It's
flashy. It's like, look, it's fine.
But my big thing about race in comics is there should be a certain part where no one is looking at race, gender, or orientation as a quota.
Yeah.
And the way they marketed it is when they revealed he was black even before the issue came out.
Right.
So you can tell that they're like, pushing his character. The big draw of his character is he's black.
Yeah.
I mean brown.
Brown. Of color.
Yes. Like,
he's ethnic.
As I said off the air, if I opened the new Ultimate Spider-Man 1 and it was a brown kid and I saw him go up and become this new Spider-Man, I would have had a completely different reaction to what I have now.
It's like, guess what? We can tell he's brown just by looking at him. You don't have to actually put that and paste the letters of, like, on the...
Like, it was one of those things, like when a character takes off their mask to reveal who they are, that should be a big thing, because one, that reveal has to mean something.
Right.
Because this is a completely new character,
yeah.
The only thing it revealed was that he was brown.
Yeah.
Nothing else about his character.
I remember there was an issue of Spider-Man written by Todd McFarlane where, like, he saves a guy from a hood of these black gang members. And he's like, thanks, those black guys would have, like, he says something to that effect. And he says, well, how do you know I'm not black on this mask? And it's like, kind of poignant, all right? And this is from Todd McFarlane, no less. So it's like, kind of amazing.
It turned out to be Spawn.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, and we were talking about this.
Spawn. No, I'm joking.
And we were talking about this a year ago with, like, when they were talking about Donald Glover and, like, potentially being
Spider-Man. Well, here's the thing.
That's different because.
No, here's the thing. The only reason we were getting Miles Morales is that Brian Michael Bendis, the writer of Ultimate Spider-Man, is apparently a fan of Donald Glover.
Yeah.
And he was he didn't say he was a supporter, but Miles being brown is sort of a nod to Donald.
Yeah. Just like, it's like this is in camaraderie with you, kind of. Because, like, we were talking about this before. We said this, and, like, Spider-Man, yes, can be black. Peter Parker, however,
exactly,
white guy, gotta be white. All right, I we've been through this so many times. If you change Peter Parker to,
like, it's one of those things where, like, if you take a supporting character and change their race, because they're the supporting character, that doesn't necessarily have to change their character.
Exactly, a character like, say, Perry White in the Superman.
This is another one we're talking about. This the recently we were revealed for Zack Snyder's Superman movie. I'm not going to talk about anything else about the movie, but they revealed that Perry White is going to be played by
Lawrence Fishburne, aka Perry Black. So yeah,
it's terrible. That's what he
basically, he's J. Jonas Jameson. That's what he basically is. But, like, it's got Lawrence Fishburne looking like his
Douglas self. Perry White has always been a supporting character in the Superman story.
Yeah.
So changing him to, I guess, promote diversity, I've got no problem.
Supporting character.
It's the same with, like, when
he says Grace is his ghost, and then we're good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Now, Superman was Asian.
But it's another thing with the whole, like, when they made Nick Fury black for the Ultimate Comics. Nick Fury, while a main character of the Ultimates, was a supporting character to that.
Right.
So it didn't really change his character outside of making him look like Samuel Jackson.
And I was going to say this much. It worked. I kind of like Black Nick Fury more than White Nick Fury, but like that in a better way. Just in the matter, I guess I'm just more used to that now. Is that Sam Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, more than anything else.
I think the normal Nick Fury is a better character.
Yeah. Yeah, I think better character, but it's just like, he's there.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like, our preference of black characters tends to be like, they're black and we don't draw attention to it. Blade. Or even Spawn is like, they're black, but it's like, you know, they're not. Blade wasn't as black as he was until Wesley Snipes got a handle on it. And he started doing martial arts and stuff like that. So it's just like,
It's funny, like
Luke Cage.
I've never been one of those comic fans who are like, I need to see myself in a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always identified more with the character themselves and how they looked like.
Because you're not one of those that are fixated on race.
Yeah, I'm not fixated on race. A good comic book character is a good comic book character.
We'll notice it when it's just like, but it's just, a lot of the times it's like, don't tokenize it. Don't like it.
Because one of my big things about why there was a long period of time I didn't really have any like favorite black characters is that traditionally a majority of the comic writers are white. Right. And way they write and some of these black characters.
The thing about black characters is that they've always got to go back to the hood at one point.
Well, I can kind of relate to, you know, going back to the hood after getting out of jail and getting superpowers. Wait a minute.
Like, specifically, like, Luke Cage is a character who was, like, one of the most, I want to say, racially insensitive characters in comics for a long period of time, but that was sort of his charm.
That's not fair. He had a disco, disco blouse on. That's not fair.
But then when he was written by Brian Michael Bendis, he sort of just became generic black guy.
Number four. Yeah, basically, he has serial number.
Yeah. And, like, another thing, like, the Black Panther, the character who, because I'm black and of African, strong African descent, I should be my favorite character, should be rooting for him. But when I read the Black Panther comics, it was just this really long racism tirade.
And honestly, I do like some Black Panther. Storm is a character, is another character who, like, in their essence, they have to be black. Like, that's the thing about it. Other characters, it just seems like, you can change their race and it won't necessarily, like, change their story arc or whatever. Those two characters are fundamentally steeped in their
about that Storm Black Panther thing.
Yep.
The two of them getting married is, like, the biggest, like, I've always said the entire Reginald Hundley run of Black Panther has been one of the longest racist, like, son of crap, like, black supremacy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In my entire life. And the Storm Black Panther relationship is the biggest case of reverse racism I've ever seen in my entire life. In superhero comics. The pettiness being that the two of them, because they're black, had to get married.
Yeah.
Had to get married. There was Marvel's two
Who else are they going to be married to?
Like, well, I'm trying to
Storm was in a long relationship with the Forge character forever.
Yeah. You can't throw in a character.
It's, it's funny. That Reginald Hudlin run the Black Panther, it's made him radioactive as a character.
Yeah.
I can't read
it. It's toxic. It's like no one can touch him.
But it's funny.
I like the Black Panther character.
I do. I recently went back and got the Christopher Priest issues of Black Panther, which are as African as Reginald Hudson's tried to be, but are not as racist.
Right.
Like in the Black Panther, like in Reginald Hudson's, his Black Panther, like, Wakanda was like the greatest city in the world. They had cures for everything, but they kept it from everyone.
Right.
They didn't care that the rest of the world would die because they're black and better than us.
Yeah.
Well, Reginald Hudlin, Wakanda
was so insular. It's like
Christopher Priest, the black Wakanda is technically advanced as any first world country is,
if you will.
But they're still steeped in that tribalism of Africa.
Yeah. Just like it's this point of just like, you know, where it's like the way Resident Evil 5 was like. All right, we're going to talk about this a little bit.
Stupid.
Here's the thing. Like, my thing about Resident Evil 5 is that, like, no, I don't feel like, okay, what was wrong with killing, like, in Resident Evil 4, we were killing with Spanish people.
Yeah, are you hearing Spanish people just, like, Europeans, I take insult to that?
Yeah, here's the difference, though. They're Spanish, they're European, and they're not poor villagers, which I already feel like the only exposure I get to them is, like, well, for 10 cents a day, you can feed them. That's my thing. That's my thing. And me personally, it wasn't really offensive. The part about me killing these African villagers is the part where they're drawn on in grass skirts and bones through their nose, and I'm like, that's racist. All right. And don't give me the token is of a Sheva McIntyre or what was her name?
Sheva Olimar.
Olimar. That's Zoe Saldana. All right. She's light skinned, straight haired. No, there were no kinks in that joint. Like eyebrows were perfectly done.
And she had an English accent.
Exactly.
She wasn't even African.
Exactly. So I'm just like, what is that?
Shut up.
Bringing it back to the Miles Morales thing, and like my understanding of I don't care is that he's a brand new character,
right?
Which means he has no prior. Like, didn't there be a different story of the new Spider-Man with someone in Peter's circle?
Yeah.
Like, if Kitty Pryde decided to tape down her breast and run around in the Spider-Man costume, that would have been different.
Hey, even, like, we were talking about Robbie Robertson's son.
Yeah.
Because there's still some connection to it.
There's still some connection. Sure. So you can
have the same characters kind of, you know, like,
yeah, but Monolith is a brand new character. I made a point to say he's a brand new character, which means they can't have him interacting with Peter's cast as his supporting character.
No Mary Jane, no Aunt May, Mom.
None of those characters. Yeah. Which is one of the main reasons that Spider-Man book was so good.
Right.
Which means Bendis has to build a completely new cast of characters.
No Daily Bugle.
It sounds like it's more work than it's worth.
Well, here's the thing. He has to build a new cast of characters and make them as likable as those characters who people automatically gravitated towards because they knew them.
It's going to take a decade at least.
Yeah, and at the same time, they had the risk of like, well, we're probably going to use the same tropes. Let's say this. He works at a newspaper. He works at a blogging site. But where his boss?
My thing is, they made a point to say that Miles Morales is a new character. And if he goes down the same path that Peter Parker, the character, has gone, that tells you that his character doesn't have
retread.
Legs.
Absolute retread.
That's just a retread of all the old ideas. With the only difference being Morales is brown.
Yeah. It's like, okay, it's like, right now, the only similarity they have is like, they become Spider-Man, and we both have alliteration in our names.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, MMPP, whatever.
Like, my biggest annoyance with the Miles Morales character, in a nutshell, is that, as much as I love Bendis as a writer,
mm-hmm.
Even though he hasn't been hitting on all cylinders for a while now.
And who does?
I'm talking about his Avengers books.
Yeah.
But his Ultimate Spider-Man has always been consistent. But right. But he's fundamentally a white writer. And it's rare when a white writer gets another race is, like, the infrastructure of how another race operates right.
Yeah.
Like, the only writer I've actually seen do that well is Jason Aaron with Scout. About Indians and the Indian Reservation.
Yeah, okay.
It's fantastic.
I haven't read it, but I've heard the same reviews about it.
It's probably the best book being published right now.
Okay.
But with Bendis, the only black character I've seen him write is Luke Cage. Yeah. And Luke Cage just seemed like just generic black guy.
Angry black guy.
Generic angry black guy who's so high and mighty about himself.
It's like, hey, Captain America! I hate you.
Like, it's like, really, Luke? It's like, do?
I just got here.
That's what you gonna do? It's like, you're telling me you don't need pants.
it's terrible. It's like, even I remember, like, in this goes with TV also. Like, I remember I saw the adaptation of The Walking Dead, and they started doing the thing with the Hispanic gang, and it's just like,
I've yet to watch that.
Like, you don't have to. That's one of the worst episodes because it's just like the way they write them. It's just like, hey, what the hell? It's like, do you know what gangs sound like? Even as minority gangs, it's just like. If you just see this like this displacement between the two. It's just like you don't know your source material and things like that. Yeah. We were talking about the Cleveland show also, where it's like
it's the most offensive show to black people.
Yeah, I'm like, and we've.
All of you try to take it seriously.
Like, yeah, well, the entire intention of the show is that they wanted a black Family Guy.
Yeah, it's like
let's
give Cleveland his own spinoff, even though he's played by Mike Henry, a white guy. The black character is the one black character on the show.
It's just the skin is dark.
Well, he's burnt.
What man you know takes a bubble bath?
Hey, he's
burnt. Hey, a bubble bath is very relaxing. You can't tell me that you never when no one's looking that well.
I take showers.
Also, he's burnt sienna. Remember that.
Okay, we can't say black.
My bad. So it's
okay. He's not stereotypical.
Like, it's gonna be tight, y'all. Like, to get bring it back to our original point again. Get me to care about Miles Morales as a character. Because he's brand new, I have nothing to
go off of.
The strength of him as a character will be based on how Bendis does on that book,
right.
Which, quite honestly, I'm not excited for.
Yeah.
If Miles Morales were perhaps the Robertson kid or Hobie Brown, a character who's already...
Heck, make him Tombstone's kid or something.
who's already got some sort of...
I like the ones... Daredevil was Spider-Man, and you know what? He was blind.
Could have been a black kid that was friends with Peter Parker named Ben Reilly.
Well, there was a black guy named Ben Reilly in the book.
There you go.
Thank you.
Why couldn't it just go that route?
Because Ben Reilly was a grown man.
Oh.
Well,
yeah.
Wasn't Spider-Boy, so. I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. It's just like, maybe, what is it about these main tier characters? Like, I remember when Lex Luthor changed fundamentally over the years. Like, he is first a mad scientist, then he was a businessman, then he's a politician. And somewhere along that line, he became black on TV. I can't.
What?
Well, oh, yeah, right. On TV for some reason. I'm like, for some reason, Clancy Brown with his voice, that makes me, well, he's gotta be black. I'm like, it's one of those weird things. It's just like,
get that really pale skin tone, he just must be albino.
Exactly! It's just weird.
No, it's like, there's nothing wrong with the initiative of diversifying your ranks.
Yeah.
But there should, but there's this thing in comics, more so than any other media, where diversity has become a quota.
Yeah.
Where we need a black person on the team. We don't need a good character. We just need a black person. Like, one of the biggest things?
It's like, guys, we're missing something from the execs. Can we make him more, how do you say, what's the word? Eddie Murphy. There it is. Yeah.
It's funny. One of my favorite Marvel comics is Kurt Busiek and George Clooney. Avengers.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things there was the Avengers with a team of white dudes.
Right.
And so they introduced a character called Triathlon, whose entire inception was supposed to be a spin on affirmative action.
Right.
And like the entire thing, the point we're supposed to get out of it is Triathlon is not really a good character.
No.
He was just there because he was black.
Bad name too.
And it was supposed to tell you that like they picked the Avengers, not. Oh, whatever. Anyway.
I mean, we can talk about the different version of Ant-Man.
This would be the case for Mr. Terrific.
Here's the thing. Mr. Terrific is a legacy character, and this is, we'll flip the script and go to DC. Through the period of time where DC... there was an original character called Mr. Terrific, and he was white.
Right.
Then he died in an event, and the new Mr. Terrific came out, and he was black. That at no point felt like affirmative action to me. That just felt like someone... trying to do something
new with the character. Like we had this character. Like,
yeah, we had this legacy. Let's just use the name and do something new with it. Got Michael Holt.
And he happens to be black.
Now, would you say that's the same case with the new Firestorm? Well, not the new, but like the current Firestorm.
So here's the thing with that. When I was talking about Miles Morales, someone compared it to DC's Blue Beetle, and who is Hispanic. And this is something a casual fan wouldn't know. And this is why one of these, I usually get angry when I have a conversation with a casual fan and they tell me what they
believe. Blue Beetle is like
when Blue Beetle was introduced, it was a period of time where DC killed off four like big white heroes and they replaced them with ethnic minorities
intentionally. Like
that was intentional affirmative action. Firestorm became black. The Atom became Asian. Blue Beetle became
Hispanic.
I think someone else. There was one more person.
There's one more. I can't remember.
Because that one didn't sell.
Atom became Asian.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wasn't one of those people who was up in arms about that. But it was one of those things that just
Blue Beetle was a character I was interested in anyway. At the time, so I was like,
okay, all three of those original characters were characters I didn't really.
No, exactly.
Care about.
I just didn't care. Like, I guess there's no lineage to them, or I'm just like,
you know. Like, they weren't my favorite characters in the series.
No.
So I went into all three of those series and came out with a new appreciation for those new characters because.
And then I even kind of looked at what are the white ones like.
But one of the problems problems with them is that like it became apparent that these characters wouldn't just stand on their own.
Yeah.
Like, Firestorm, the new black Firestorm, immediately started getting acquainted with all the old Firestorm's characters.
Right.
The new Blue Beetle started getting acquainted with all the Blue Beetle's allies.
Right.
The new Atom started getting acquainted with all the stuff in the Atom's character line. And that, as good as those stories were, it just felt like if it wasn't for the legacy, these characters wouldn't have survived.
I see.
Yeah. Like we were talking about for Spider-Man. It's like...
With Miles Morales, he's going... 10-1, all of Peter's old characters are going to start showing up in Miles' book.
It's going to be New York. So it's like, you know what? I can probably see him eventually running into it. But if he starts making
if in the first like arc, in like all those characters are involved...
Hi, I'm Gwen Stacy. Like...
It's not good.
No, it's not. It's like... I'm looking for a job. You know who needs a photographer? Wink.
Oh, God.
It's like...
That's just insulting.
And it's like, maybe if they... I mean, it's just weird, because like, it's New York. It's like, this Spider-Man's already existing. This guy's going to... I mean, I don't know if he...
The idea of Morales is that after Peter has died, given the hero funeral, that it's in really bad taste for him to be going around
so
in Spider-Man
costume. So soon, anyway. This is, and like, you know what? If they actually kind of make it so that Peter will just like, this guy's an imposter or something like that, and that he's kind of like...
If that's the take they're going to take with Miles Morales as Spider-Man, that's got me slightly interested.
I was like...
I hope they really don't take this very seriously.
It's like someone actually, like Jameson actually paints this guy as a menace for, like, for besmirching...
For besmirching Peter's name.
Yeah. It's like, I was never... I love the kid, and it's like, I may have been rough on him, but it's like...
So kind of like a Cyborg Superman Eradicator and Death of Superman, in a sense?
Kind of.
Kind of like that.
It's one of those things where I don't have many... I'm going to say black characters who I'm giant fans of.
Yeah.
I mean, if there are any... I like the idea of Static Shock. Where
yeah.
The entire Milestone era of comics with Dwayne, which was actually fantastic. Sort of, I want to say, reverse affirmative action.
Right.
It wasn't like it was. There were books geared for more urban, more black, just to get more colored people in comics.
Yeah.
But they didn't overtly just say the entire team just can be black people.
It's not like those. It's not like, you know what? I'm going to start a potato chip company. It's called Hip Hop Chips. It's for black people. You know what I mean? You know, remember those? Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Like, well, reading Rizal Hudlin's Black Panther, one of his like mini ideas of the black Avengers.
Yeah.
Which was like Blade, Black Panther, Monica Rambeau, and Luke Cage.
These people would never work together. Like,
they really would.
Because like, guess what? If you know anything about black people, we notice when there are nothing but black people around.
First of all, if you call your team the Black Avengers.
Yeah.
That is probably...
Don't expect anybody to take you seriously.
Remember when they were about to do the Black Hulk? They decided, maybe we should call him the Dark Hulk instead. Like, it's just like, that is not much better, but let's go with it. Sure.
It's weird.
Yeah. So, that was... Yeah.
Black Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is Miles Morales good for comics? Yes.
Sure.
Yes. If someone actually decides to pick up a book... And sees, but the thing is, if someone picks up a book and they see Spider-Man, they're going to say, "Is this Peter Parker?" And they're going to be surprised to take on the mask.
To those who are arguing the purity of like, well, okay, like my thing is, okay, Batman, Bruce Wayne, white, Superman.
It was when people were saying that let's make Beyonce Wonder Woman. No one's going to look at Beyonce as Wonder Woman and say, "This is Wonder Woman." They're going to say, "This is Beyonce."
Exactly.
And it's the same thing when Will Smith was when they were saying Will Smith should be Captain America. No one's going to say,
"Whoa."
No one's going to say
he supersedes that. He's not just black. He's
No one's going to say this is Steve Rogers Captain America. They're going to say this is Will Smith playing Captain America.
Seriously.
So it's one of the things where
he already did the Super Soldier.
Spider-Man is so ingrained in the public consciousness that
he really is. Like he's
that like any kid, any person who picks up the book is only Spider-Man. It's going to be like, okay, who is this Miles Morales character? And because he's not a character with any ties to the wider Spider-Man, they're going to be confused.
Yeah. Right.
And the tip is that Miles Morales as a character will only work if they can sustain his run as Spider-Man. And if they can still keep if Bennett can still keep the quality he promised that he'd have with the old Ultimate Spider-Man.
If he decides to be ballsy with this, like...
If Miles Morales turned out to be gay...
On top of being
brown.
Yeah,
I think that would be that's going in the right direction. I mean, like they've already objectified him as being black, and that's the main draw of his character.
Let's make him drive a Prius, also. Let's just throw that.
I do think there needs to be diversity in comics, more diversity. Because it needs to reflect the real world.
These characters were created 50s, 60s. Yeah,
I do think that.
Years ago,
but I don't think diversity should be made at the expense of, a mandate of quota or at the expense of other characters.
Right.
Like a good character like Peter Parker shouldn't have had to die for us to have gotten Miles Morales. I hate to see that
Peter Parker actually died because they were planning to, our plan this whole time was... We need to make way for this guy.
That's one of the reasons why I dislike that the original session of that DC idea where they just killed four characters to bring in these new guys to wield their legacy.
Yeah, the B team.
Felt wrong. Yeah. And why the Mr. Terrific, because Terrific had died for a while now. The legacy was open. It didn't feel like someone, he had one foot in the grave the entire time they were making this plan, like, this evil plan.
I'm on borrowed time as is, but it's like, you know, it's just, I don't know. My vitriol for this whole situation is like, and I've talked about this on Spill several times with several people. It's not this change itself, because I'm just like, whatever.
I'll pick up. I've been conditioned to pick up Ultimate Spider-Man, so I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
If Miles doesn't grab me, then I'll drop the book.
The reason I'm stirred by it
because I'm not like with Peter. I love the Ultimate Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So even if the book got into a lull, I was like, is Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm going to keep going. Yeah. I love this character. We'll see where we want to go. But Miles, like, I don't care.
Yeah. I would not be compelled to respond. We're not for the fact that there are so many people who after hearing this news, decided, look, I'm not a racist, but... Okay, stop right there and pause. All right? If you start that, you're getting on a high horse and you're being... It's like... And I understand. Calling someone a racist is probably the one of the ugliest things you can call someone. It really is. Like, that's...
A lot of people in their heart aren't racist.
No.
They're just a lot of subconscious, I want to say, stereotypes. They're so ingrained in the public knowledge that, like... like if an old woman walks, if like a old woman has walked by me and just cutted her purse and walked by, I don't overtly think she's racist. But I just think she's uncomfortable with me.
I was like, I tried to, but there's old, but I was gonna think it's probably because I'm black a little bit. And but
yeah,
like,
uncomfortable.
I mean, of course, I'm waving the gun around, just, you know, walking down the street. But, you know, I just got the gun.
It's new and shiny. You got to see how it fits.
How it feels.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't even say they're necessarily bigoted, but it's like, there's a prejudice in what they're saying. And a lot of times it's just a matter of, like, look, it's like, there's someone on Spiel who's just like, look, Corey, who's the guy, it's like, you're not Malcolm X, you're not MLK, why do you have to make it all about this and that? Why is it going to be a race thing? Gosh, it's like, and that's what, it's the tone of it a lot of the time. Like, don't be so, like, confrontational about it. Like, don't make it seem as though Spider-Man and Peter Parker is gone forever. All right. Or so the history has been undone.
No, the mainstream media is not going to pick up on this Miles Morales thing because there's still an amazing Spider-Man book going out with Peter Parker still running around the spider talks.
Yep.
Ultimate Spider-Man has always
selling souls to the devil.
It's been a solid book, but it's always been under the general radar, the entire Ultimate Universe for a while now.
Yeah. It has.
So this is not a big game changer.
This is not news. Like, if these people did not know when Peter Parker died, they're not going to care when this character is actually introduced.
Yeah. Not like mainstream anyway, but those that are like
picking up a book, picking up Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, if someone's going to pick up a Spider-Man book, it's not going to be Ultimate Spider-Man.
Probably not.
It's either going to be the Amazing Spider-Man or one of the various, like, all eight of Spider-Man books where Peter's still running around in the top.
Yeah, they don't, I mean, someone first getting the comics, like, they're not going to know any better. They're going to go with something that looks familiar or whatever like that. They're thinking kind of easy.
Because, like, the Ultimate Spider-Man, the new Ultimate Spider-Man doesn't have the same costume.
No.
It's recognizable as Spider-Man, but
it's
not
just,
it's Spider-Man.
It's symbolic. That's not, that suit is just, like, it's one of those things that's ingrained in the public mind. So, yeah, I mean, there we have it. But.
Yeah. So, I'm not a racist. I just don't care.
Yeah.
There are a lot of topics in comics that, like, get yelled at all the time, but at the end of the day, I've been so, I guess, conditioned and beaten down by comics that it just doesn't bother me.
It's like, I hate to say that we've been placated by it. It's like, we're just kind of used to it, to a certain extent. Like, as terrible as it sounds.
Like, it's funny, like, I compare this to, like, I want to say, like, characters like Cyborg, mm-hmm. in the all-new Teen Titans, mm-hmm. and, like, the all-new, all-different X-Men, Giant Size, all those characters, they were in the international team. They brought in characters of different races and creeds and built something with that. That was great. But it's every once in a while you read a book where it's really obvious that they wanted to hit a quota.
Yeah.
That we needed a black person, or we needed a certain amount of women, or we needed something.
Yeah. It's like,
you can't please everybody.
Tell me about it.
Like, I've never overtly, except for those Reginald Hutton Black Panther, I've never read a comic book and said, oh, this is racist.
Yeah.
This is sexist. I've always gone to the flow.
At no point have I ever read a book and thought, you know what this book needs? A black guy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. But, like, you know what? This response that people have had because of it, I'm just thinking, maybe we need more minority superheroes out there in general. Not necessarily as replacements, but just so, like, people are just, like, less, like, jarred by it.
That's why Static is such a watershed character.
Yeah.
He's probably the only...
It's an earnest character.
Earnest black character who's completely original.
Yeah.
Despite being
Black Lightning. Yeah.
Blatant Black Lightning revolve.
Yeah. Yeah,
to just sort of be out there in the public mind.
Yeah. And that's a shame. Not a shame, but it's just, like, him, Icon, other characters. It's just like...
We visit a previous stuff. Yes, we do need more diversity in comics.
We can't go by on Steel.
But it needs to have more thought into it.
It needs to be sincere.
And yes, it needs to be sincere and not seen as a giant marketing push.
Seriously.
Yeah. At the same time, people have got to be more, have to be able to recognize
And it needs to be helmed by, like, bigger creators who are completely sincere about what they do.
Yeah.
Like, Bendis is writing Ultimate Spider-Man, and that book is never going to get canceled. So, as long as this Miles Morales thing doesn't, like,
bomb,
that book will be fine, and we'll probably have Miles for a while until they decide they want to do another big shakeup.
Right.
But if they give someone like me the book to write with a brand new black character, no one has any allegiance to me.
Yeah.
No one's going to just pick up the book regardless.
And then it's like, even in Europe, because you might feel like, do you have this time because I'm black?
He's even walking in his life.
Hey, we have no problem with it. A black guy wrote it. From PG.
They just straight put you out there.
Yeah.
And if it was really good, it's just like, oh, we've been following his work for a while. No, you haven't.
You know nothing of my work.
Like, there are certain writers that I go out of my way to pick up any book that they write.
Why is that?
Because they put out really good stuff. Like,
on a consistent basis.
I love Warren Ellis, except he just kind of loses interest in stuff after a little while.
Well, Warren Ellis is like superheroes.
Yeah.
He has more fun not writing them. But every time he does really write superheroes, it usually is really good.
Yeah. So on and so forth. So, I mean, yeah, like, this diversity, tokenism, diversity, what have you. It's like, this is a weird thing of, like, you're doomed if you do it, you're doomed if you don't do it. Because it's like, if you don't, it's like... of course, everyone's white, you know. Like,
it's funny, like, the DC reboot, one of the big things about the reboot is that to diversify their character library. Yeah. So we've got more books with women in it, and then we got more books with, I guess, colored people in it.
Yeah. Let's see how many of those women have small breasts.
What's funny is, you know the four characters that DC went out of their way to make diverse?
Yeah. Yes.
Three of them went straight back to being white guys. Adam, Firestorm, and the other one. But I can't remember either. Blue Beetle stayed Blue Beetle because the design spoke to a very modern standpoint. And they started and the diversity thing...
Plus it's Texas, let's face it.
Right? The fact that they needed that diversity became really apparent with his character.
Yeah. So I guess those are... Man, this has been very refreshing.
Very cathartic.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's good to get that off the chest. So, again... This is like the ultimate. This is how we're summarizing it. No, the Green Lantern movie would not have been better
if it was John Stewart. It would not have been better.
I don't care if Kamen was in it. It would have been. They would have mishandled it. Well, he was in the running for a while.
And personally, I don't feel John Stewart as compelling as
outside the cartoon. No,
compared to Hal Jordan, no.
As compelling or Kyle Rayner.
Yeah,
or Guy Gardner. John is always
for
Guy would never have worked. He's not that strong of a leading role. Yeah. But
John Stewart was just
John Stewart is always great as a supporting character.
Yeah, he's a soldier and an architect. He's like
didn't you blow up a planet?
He
blew up two planets.
Why you gotta bring up old?
Second,
why blew up Mogo.
Hey! Oh,
you know John Stewart's like, why you gotta bring up old?
Why
you gotta bring up old age?
There's a reason that John Stewart is a character outside of the Justice League.
Which he's fantastic.
The funny thing with the Justice League thing, they completely turned him into a different character for that show.
And you know what?
Yeah.
It worked.
It worked for them.
You know, and they should probably make note of that.
And then that's how the public saw it.
Yeah, that was the most infuriating day of my life. I was sitting there getting a haircut, and they're playing DC versus Mortal Kombat, and like,
oh God.
And it was like, yo man, why is Green Lantern white? It's not the real Green Lantern. I'm like, you ignorant.
Yeah.
You're the type of people that make me hate being a comic fan. Because the minute I try to correct you, you're going to be like, well,
that's some bull.
That's stupid. Whatever.
Well, the comic was written in the 1950s.
That's
boy. There's no racism for your ass.
I don't like that.
It's funny, like, back in the DC reboot, like, one of the reasons Cyborg has become a founding member of the Justice League is because, one, Geoff Johns likes his character, but DC really needs that diversity.
Yeah. It's like he's half black, half robot.
Well, no. Martian Manhunter was displayed as black in, like, the cartoon.
Well, I mean...
On Smallville.
Okay, Smallville.
He was black on Smallville.
The voice actor for
I think
John Jones' voice actor for Justice League is actually black also. I think it's Jamaican.
That was a white dude. Whoa.
Hey, Clancy Brown. Just saying.
I've never seen John Jones as white. I've been black. I've always seen him as white.
Or maybe Asian.
Or Martian.
Martian. Thank you.
Could be green.
Yeah.
Could be green.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess these are our thoughts, but it's a bit
jointed.
Yeah.
These are general thoughts, just a round table discussion or a triangle table discussion. There's only three of us.
Yeah. Ultimately, we would probably not respond. We would not even comment on this, or not for the fact that there are people who are just like exceedingly up in arms.
And that one person on our Facebook page who asked what we thought about the.
A good question. Was that Johnny Snyder or was that Trevon?
I don't remember. All I know is we had to make a response to that.
Yeah, and it was like, honestly, it looked like some good discussion. So thank you for that. Really, thank you for that. And
this is why we have these episodes.
Yeah, and
why we have email comments.
To the ignorant and or bigoted out there, Just take it down a notch.
See me out in the streets.
Cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac.
Yeah, it's not nearly as exciting, is it?
It really isn't. It's depressing.
It was Johnny Snyder.
Yeah, Johnny Snyder. Okay. So yeah, I believe that will conclude our program.
Another thing about the gay, Mild being gay, because gay marriage is legal in New York now.
Comment on it. Thank you. It's like, it's not in a wheelchair. Also.
Oh, DC got rid of Barbara Gordon as Green.
So
there are no more handicapped people in comics.
Daredevil.
He's not really tan. He's handicapped.
He's a blind guy who can see, which is just silly.
He turns that around.
But his blindness is part of his superpower.
He's
never limited by the fact he's blind.
I know.
Barbara Gordon was limited by the fact that she can no longer jump off roofs as Batgirl.
Black Bolt.
Not really limited. He's just got a super voice.
Oh yeah, he's just like I'm just quiet. That's
Whisper can destroy a continent.
You just
go on our Facebook page. Get us more ideas for discussions like this because we want to keep doing them when we're not doing reviews.
Right.
Yeah, I'm Avery Williams signing out for the rest of the boys of the PCB podcast.
Blackstone.
Yes, the Blackstone. No, it's a brownstone because it's half Hispanic.
My bad.
And one quarter Asian, so it's brown.
One quarter.
Yeah.
How's that math work out?
Yeah. This has been your PTP weekly dose. Yes. I'm proud to say I hope you didn't overdose. I'm sitting here with Audie Chesley and Shigal McConan. We're signing out.
I had no idea that having a black person and a brown person mating would cause spider powers. I did not know that's the way it worked out.
First of all, I want to know what type of powers he has. If he has Peter's exact abilities, I'm kind of
He weird. Has some kind of spider sense, but it's like unclear apparently, from what I understand. Some people have gotten the first issue, but we're not sure yet.
All right. Oh, wow.
Well, he debuted in Ultimate Comics Fallout #4 after they hyped up who's going to be the new Spider-Man with their marketing. I'm kind of really tired of Marvel's marketing program. It's really infuriating.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they hyped it up. They showed him. He got into a tuffle. Then he took off the mask and said, this is probably in bad taste.
Yeah. This is probably in bad taste.
Like, really?
I know this is less than ideal.
look. We need you to be Spider-Man. But we know it's less than ideal.
It's like, we need you to be Spider-Bro.
Oh, God.
Heavens.
John Stewart not worked as a lead character.
Neither was Stephen Colbert. What?
Godspeed.